This is a Forwardly podcast.
Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Duh.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hills, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the B-Watch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Get into it, guys. All right, guys. It's Colin.
It's Cadence.
And today we are so excited because we have the most amazing thing to share with you, and this is just really special to our hearts, not only because of just our bond with it, but just how impactful this movie has been in so many lives, especially ours.
Right.
And you guys might have heard of a little movie called Showgirls, right?
Don't get your hopes up.
Don't get your hopes up, guys.
We're not doing Showgirls.
We're not doing Showgirls. But I don't know, Cadence, do you remember, like, kind of sassy sub-character in Showgirls that works at the Cheetah Lounge with Nomi. And she kind of is expressionless.
She has a cute bob.
She has a cute blonde bob, kind of like Farquaad from Shrek movies, but blonde. And she doesn't make any expressions at all. Kind of stone face. And I don't know. I'm just wondering.
I think you might be talking about Penny.
Oh, that's her name. Yes, Penny. Oh, yeah, because in Showgirls, Jimmy, who was teaching Nomi how to be, you know, the sexiest dancer she could be, he started dating Penny, if you remember that. And anyway, she went off to make a movie herself about her story. So today we are doing Showgirls 2.
Yeah, we're not taking the mainstream route. We're not doing Showgirls. Mm-mm. We're doing Showgirls 2.
Showgirls 2.
Penny's from Heaven. And it's Penny apostrophe S. Penny is from Heaven. That's what it is. Not pennies. Multiple pennies.
So Penny just, she got real ambitious,
Her
guys.
Full name is Penny Slot.
It's Penny Slots. And she just really wanted, I mean, she wanted her story told, I guess. It wasn't properly represented in the OG Showgirls.
No, it absolutely wasn't. She wasn't given even kind of a little enough time to talk about where her own inspirations come from.
How did she get to the Cheetah Lounge?
Nomi Shmomi.
Right? And the best thing is like, actually, Katie, you hadn't seen Showgirls until...
No, I saw Penny's from Heaven like 7 years ago before I ever saw Showgirls. We were obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just maybe like 4-ish years ago, you showed me Showgirls for the first time, the NC-17 rating.
It is Ranché.
And I died and went to heaven. And went to heaven.
There's a reason it's a cult classic. It is too good to be true.
But again, not doing the mainstream route and doing Showgirls, instead doing its much more thoughtful, much more introspective, much longer.
She had successor, a lot to
Penny's
say.
Penny's from Heaven.
Penny had a lot to get off her little
chest,
you guys.
It's almost 2.5 hours long.
Oh, it's intense. And the thing about this movie is it's kind of like, because it's so long and because it's so bonkersly ridiculous, like you kind of start to feel like you're in this weird alternate reality or like this weird fever dream, like maybe an hour and 45 minutes into it, this is your life now. Like, this is our life. You become weirdly...
Have I entered a wormhole?
Yeah.
And am I now living in a reality where Penny is...
Everything.
A goddess.
Or she's everything. Yeah, and I had seen Showgirls a long time ago, but then Cadence had showed me Showgirls too. So we kind of like swapped showing each other the Showgirls, and we were both happy with both of them. But man, Penny's with
Heaven. We were both happy with both of them.
And you know what? We were both happy with both of them. But Penny's from Heaven really just has a little special place in our heart because it is batshit. And we are so happy to bring it to you today. All right, so we're going to set the stage for you guys. We're just going to give you a real basic A to B plot, okay? We have Penny Slotz, who, like we said, was in the original Showgirls. She competed against Nomi. She's dating Jimmy. They're still dating in this movie.
Yeah, like 25 years later. 25
years later, which is so cute. Long-term. I mean, Pen and Jim. And Jimmy's still reeling into her that she needs to be a fine dancer. And so her main goal is to get, throughout this whole movie, her main goal is to get on a show called Star Dancer. Mm-hmm. You know, Star Dancer is kind of still a vague TV show. We don't know if it's like a cabaret show, if it's if it's a recorded Vegas show, if it's like a Dancing with the Stars type show. We never quite figured that out, but Penny is dead set on getting that show.
And she feels like that's going to be what makes her reputable.
Oh, she's going to be a star if she could get on Star Dancer. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and start the scene. We're going to jump in, okay? So Penny is with Jimmy. They're in kind of like a garage, which I guess is kind of their home. And
it's like when you build like an addition onto your garage.
It's like one of those little houses, that you buy at Home Depot.
There's like no insulation or anything.
And they are in an intense dance. And we learn that Jimmy's teaching her the dance of the genitals.
Yes. And he's guiding her. And I mean, just, we'll put the clip up. But what you need to remember is that it's them basically pantomiming like a vagina opening.
It's very beautiful, beautiful shots.
And there is a lot thematically. There's a lot having to do with genitals, pussy power, vaginas.
Oh, I guarantee you guys.
So on and so forth.
You are going to be hearing a lot of genital dance types and references. I was trying to think of what the word references was through this whole
genital
thing.
Types.
So Jimmy's just going on and on, just telling her, like, if you want to be serious about getting on anywhere in life, you got to go to Juilliard and you got to dance and you got to take it seriously. And
meanwhile, Jimmy works where?
At a t-shirt company, you guys. He, poor guy, he's still just a broken record, just trying to get strippers, old strippers to dance right. I don't know.
Why isn't he in Juilliard?
Yeah.
If he's so good.
And also, why are you running a t-shirt company, buddy? You should just have a dance studio teaching girls how to dance, right? What is this? So anyway, she's just like, okay, I will. And then he's like, you know what? I gotta go to work. Runs over, grabs his skateboard off the wall.
It's mounted.
He just skates off to work. And Penny's left there like, okay, gotta take what he said seriously.
He's a real adult.
Next scene. So the next day, let's say it's the next day. Penny goes into work.
That's another thing. You have no sense of time with this movie at all. I mean, it's 2.5 hours. So like in real life, you have no sense of time. And in the movie, there's no indication of how many days, weeks, years have passed.
Right. It's kind of like the butterfly or like what the time traveler's wife. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't ever really make any sense. But Penny's got her little bag and she's going to her work and she gets up at work. And
well, maybe we should set the stage. What does her work look like?
That's what I was going to say. When she climbs up and she's dancing. You guys, have you ever been to like an old, really rundown tiki bar? Mm-hmm. Somewhere
like
in
an abandoned amusement park that's been just dilapidated for years?
So
that has vines growing out of it?
Yes. And it's got an outdoor patio that has not been cleaned in literally months. Mm-hmm. There's maybe two or three patrons out there, and there's like tropical fish on the wall. I think there's like flags of different countries,
and they're just trying to kill time between their next, where they got to be from 1 to 2, you know, like they just have this little window and they don't have enough time to make it home, so they're just gonna sit on the patio of this place for a little bit.
And Penny is a dancer there, and we don't know, again, I think she's a stripper there,
you know what,
but we don't really know.
This is triggering memories.
Carmen
Electra.
Yes.
Dancing at Pam Anderson's
CJ's
Bar
and Grill
in
Tuesdays
the middle
and
of
Thursdays.
The day.
It literally is like 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, you guys. And Penny is up on, we'll call it a stage, but it's actually just one of the patio tables in the back. She is dancing her
precariously
little
balanced.
Out. Yes, she's like trying to stay balanced as two people watch her dance in this grungy TJ Fridays type place. And I just want to point out that there is also a hand-carved, like, Donald Duck-esque type thing.
You might be asking yourself, what the fuck are you saying? Trust us, when you see it, the same thing. It's a giant 2-foot Donald Duck ripoff carved out of wood.
Into the tiki bar. And Penny is a thinker, so she's going to use this to her advantage. And she starts rubbing her tits on it, licking it, and immediately... I hate that. I hate it. But immediately you're like, okay, we are watching this movie. This is it. This is what's happening. And immediately after dancing, after her little strip show is over for the two patrons in there, there's a really cool, very handsome guy with kind of a Guy Fieri.
Yes, definitely a Guy Fieri vibe.
Guy Fieri vibe, like
he has a flame shirt.
He has a flame shirt, like those motorcycle sunglasses on that are like real dark, you know,
mm-hmm, with the mirrors.
And bless his heart, he's got some kind of business deal for Penny. And
because while he has a flame shirt, he also has a briefcase, so you know he's a businessman.
And he's like, hey, I've got this. You got talent, girl. You got this.
I can tell by the way you licked that, yeah, Donald.
You licked that Donald hard. You got a sparkle in your eye. And she's like, really?
I'd be perfect to play that part. I'll audition for you now.
Well, how much is it going to cost me to see these lap dancing talents?
This one's on the house.
Free.
So immediately Penny gets tricked into giving this guy a lap dance.
In the back room on the pool table, mind you.
In the back room in the pool table. There's people trying to play pool and she's in this bizarre sequin bikini.
They're just
bikini.
Like, could you freaking move, please? I'm trying to make the shot.
You guys, in the background, there's literally like the singing bass on the wall and there's like pictures of beer. It's so bizarre. And she gives him this quasi lap dance. Like, it's really, really bizarre. And he's like, okay. Tricked you, bye. And she's like, oh.
Well, no, he gives her a business card, remember?
That's true. But he doesn't actually set anything up with her.
Right. So he's like, I'm an agent and I think you'd be great on Star Dancers. Here's my card. And so to her, she's like, oh, I'm going to give myself a leg up by giving you a dance on the pool table. But then he just leaves.
Yeah, he's like,
so
bye.
He did not pave the way for her at all in any way, shape, or form. But because of this weird random dude's validation of her dance skills, she's like, yeah, I should definitely try to get
you
to
know
Star
what?
Dancers.
You're right. That guy kind of inspired her. He kind of like he kind of was the catalyst for this whole crazy adventure we're about to go on.
He believed in her.
He believed in her. He just wanted a free lap dance, but it really sparked her to be the star dancer. So later that night, after that, the best little sparkling penny she could be. So that night, she's back home getting ready for her second shift at Macayo's, and on the TV comes this beautiful ad. Star dancer and a star dancer. And it is... Oh.
That's me being the sound effects.
It's time for the star dancer with Mr. Zach Berry and the Golden Nugget Dancers, where the showgirls sizzle and the star burns hotter than the sun.
It is amazing because, again, it's like this, there's like, basically, Star Dancers, just to paint a picture, is like four people dancing in a dark room.
In a really dark, like, you know those, if you've ever seen like a real theater production, right? There's always what they call like the black box theater productions, which are the smaller, sort of more intimate plays that happen in a teeny tiny theater that is basically a room that is a black box. It's kind of like that. It's dark. And there's actually no dancing taking a place.
Oh, no, it's just the spotlight on four dancers moving kind of weird in this
with the one,
pitch black darkness.
With the one star dancer in the middle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is true. Whoever is the star dancer takes the show.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees this commercial, and again, it kind of just like reinforces what this guy did today. It's like, I got to get out of here. And so she turns
it's
and she
a
goes,
sign.
She's made up her mind. Next morning, she has her little suitcase packed, and she is ready to go. She's getting out of this humdrum town.
But she doesn't have a car, you guys, so how does she get out? Because she can't ride Jimmy's freaking skateboard.
No, yeah, exactly. She can't pay for an Uber, can't pay for a Lyft. She's got to hitchhike, similar to like how Nomi did in Showgirls 1.
Yeah, you might be thinking, huh, sounds familiar.
That's interesting, huh? So Penny picks up her little, you know, leopard print suitcase, and she's going to hitchhike her way out of this junky old town. And sure enough, she gets picked up by the sleaziest guy in the entire Penny's from Heaven universe.
He's a mouth breather, both. That's a practical way to describe him, but also visually, whatever pops into your head when I say the word mouth breather, he's it.
And you guys, he's driving his uncle's $1 million Porsche.
Hey, Porsches don't cost $1 million. That's ridiculous. And yes, that's true. So
if you're picking up a hitchhiker, why on earth are you telling her it's your uncle's car? She doesn't know. It's your $1 million Porsche for all she knows.
Impress her.
Come on, guy.
So they're going in and he's basically like, where are you going, Penny? And she's like, I'm going to Hollywood. And he's like, okay, are you going to be an actress? And she's like, I'm going to be a dancer. Then he kind of picks up, based off of her completely sparkly she's leotard she's wearing.
But also she's got full makeup. Like,
oh, you guys, the makeup.
Drag makeup to the hill.
So he's kind of like not making a totally out of line question and being like, you mean stripper? Then she pulls a gun on him.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. Penny is not a stripper. She's a dancer. And she pulls a gun on him and she's like, I'm a dancer. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, she doesn't pull a gun on him because she's hitchhiking from a stranger. She pulls a gun on him because how dare he call her a stripper.
I'm a dancer.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you crazy? Whoa, 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 look, look, look. I give you a ride in my uncle's $1 million Porsche and you pull a gun on me? What is this? I mean, I'm not some piece of cattle you can just prod around. I'll make you a bet. Play a game of strip poker. You win, I give you a ride. You lose, you're stuck in Pearl Blossom.
I mean, I don't know about you, but you haven't lived life until you get picked up by a random car driver and he asks you to play a game of strip poker.
I mean, come on, guys. Come on. So
I like to live on the edge.
She agrees. Oh, well, to be fair, she puts down the gun. It's shooting blanks, actually. She tells him that, which seems really illogical because he could still be really dangerous, but she decides that to trust him and put down the gun, tell him it's fake. So he's like, all right, let's go. They drive. And this is where Cadence and I actually had to rewatch parts of the film because they stop at a rest stop and he has sex with her.
Because as stated, he's challenged her to a game of strip poker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe that the plot was that, like, oh, she lost a game of strip poker, she owes him sex. As nonsensical as that is, it made more sense than what happens next, which is they get back in the car, and then he says, okay, now it's time to play the strip poker, but I have a really special place that I want to take you to play it. So he walks her in the dark with only the headlights to light their way to a barn on the side of the road.
The scariest ass barn, and I'm like, Penny, wake the fuck up. This is Ed Gein Murder House.
She's already told him her gun shoots blanks, so she's got no upper hand.
No defense, nothing. And she's following him into an old, dilapidated barn. And again, just visually, you can only see them lit up by headlights.
So she's like, oh, wait, I need my suitcase, which don't know why you need your suitcase when you're going to play a game in a barn, but whatever. And so he goes, yeah, no, you can just leave it in my car. Do you not trust me or something? And she goes, no, I trust you. And he goes, okay, then just wait here in this barn. I'll be right back.
You guys, he literally goes to his car right in front of her, gets in, leaves, steals her suitcase and everything. Not only is it similar to exactly what happened in Showgirls, but the only thing she's sad about in losing all of this stuff is she goes,
my dance shoes.
And they're good dance shoes.
They're good dance shoes. Because now she wants to be a dancer. But before she wanted to be an actress. So we're trying to figure out what's
going on.
Well,
you know, when you dance, you are portraying a character.
Yeah, you're pretty much an actress. So that makes sense. Well, Penny, you've been fucked over. But you know what? You've got a strong heart and a hot, strong spirit. And you're going to get to Seven Sisters.
She's going to do it because she's got a dream. And she's got that guy's business card in her puss. So
she's ready.
That's all you need.
So needless to say, she follows her little venture and meets a whole other group of ragtag criminals.
Because now
criminals.
She's got to hitchhike even more. And now she's hitchhiking without her suitcase. She doesn't even have that.
What's she going to do? So she meets these ragtag criminals. We'll spare you the details.
One is a
guys.
Pimp. One is a prostitute. All you need to know is that there's an accidental murder.
Yes. The prostitute goes crazy and kills both pimps. While Penny is peeing, Penny comes back, falls on a knife by accident. The
accidentally pushes her on a knife, yes.
And she's like, I gotta get away. I gotta make a getaway. But there is one little thing. Those pimps and prostitutes had saved up a lot of cash.
Right.
Lots and lots
like
of cash.
A full, there's a bag full of wads of cash. It's also, if you are making that much money as a Marilyn Monroe lookalike prostitute on the side of the road in a trailer, that's what I would be doing. That would be my profession.
I wouldn't want to be getting anywhere else. You I'm happy
guys,
with what I'm doing.
Look, if you see the amount of cash, you'll know what I'm saying. Like, if that is that lucrative, I am there. I'm there.
So needless to say, Penny is at the wrong place at the wrong time. Nothing to do with these people.
Or
but
the right time in the sense that she gets a bag full of cash. However you want to look at it. Accidental murder, but also bag of cash.
So as she's running away from the scene, this guy recognizes her. And he's like, did you give me a lap dance at Cheetah's in 1995 for my birthday?
Asterisk. That's a reference to the original Showgirls.
But not even, that's not what I'm saying it like that. It was his birthday in 1995. That was literally 16 years ago from when this movie was made. Like, this is 16 years later.
Yeah.
You do not remember a stripper at... Maybe you do. I don't know.
I feel like you're missing the point of Penny. A guy with a flame shirt spotted her in a crowd at a McCoy's out in the lobby.
McCoy's? McCoy's. McCoy's, it's like a law firm, but still, it wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter either way.
McCoy and Chandling. So she's got a star quality. So obviously, if someone with a star quality gave you a lap dance.
I didn't even think about that. Her vagina, her vagina, her breast, her makeup, her hair, her little Farquaad bob is just so memorable.
He would remember that for the rest of his life.
He's like, I remember that helmet head of blonde, sick wig hair. Didn't move the whole time you flopped around my dick.
I tried to run my fingers through it. It just was hit. Bink. Bink.
So he actually wants to give her a ride. But then because he says that, she gets really aggressive to him. And he's like, you know what? Screw you, bitch. And he like runs away. But before he goes away, he puts a little cop thing on the top of his car. So
like a little light.
You know it's a cop. Then Penny's thinking, oh, shit. A cop has seen me. He's going to find out these people are murdered. What's the most logical thing I can do?
Okay, so... At this point, you might be thinking like, okay, well, just act natural and keep moving, right? Because there's whatever. No, Penny decides the most natural thing to do is take the bloody dress off of the woman who's been accidentally murdered, steal her wig, and then wear that into town.
Mm-hmm. She's going to dress exactly like this murdered
prostitute. No one knows who she is. No one knows where she's been.
That's
how she chooses to go undercover.
That guy didn't take a picture of her, but again, she's so memorable that he would be like, you know what? That Farquaad blonde hair was at the murder scene.
Trust me, I've seen that helmet.
So she kind of, but yeah, like, just cut your hair and dye it like a normal person. Don't put on a dead woman's entire aesthetic that's literally covered in blood. I don't know. We're not Penny. We don't know. She was probably in a fit.
This is where also, just to set the tone for the rest of the film, we learn that despite having been given by the gods a gift of insane amounts of money, she has
rolls and rolls
zero
of money.
Money management skills and does not know how to budget.
Yes, because let's say some time has passed. Okay, we don't know because time doesn't exist. The next scene is at a petting zoo.
Correct.
And she is stripping.
Correct.
For three men at a petting zoo in a patio.
Who are petting baby goats.
And she has a beer pong and she's like, nuts thrown on me.
A beer bong.
A beer bong. What did I say?
Pong.
Beer pong. She's just playing beer pong real quick with them. And she's giving them, she's not in stripper clothes. She's kind of in this weird, almost sailor type of.
She's
small...
not getting paid for this. Yes. Like, let us emphasize.
No, yeah, you guys,
this
she's not
her,
at work.
This
she's
is
work.
Her casual time. She has handfuls of cash. She doesn't need to work. So she's doing this.
She chooses to use her spare time going to petting zoos and giving these bizarre lap dance to the grossest men.
Sick.
And then she literally throws a wad on the table and she's like, who wants more shots? It's on me. And I'm like, girl, you do not know how the world works.
It's $100,000 and they are, it's a beer bong made from a Sprite bottle. So I promise you she could have thrown a 10 on the table and it would have covered the cost.
Or I don't know, just use your sexuality, your advantage and trick these men into buying you a drink. Like, I don't get what the point. What are you
she's
after,
She's flipping
Betty?
Gender norms on their head,
I
Colin.
Think that's
she's
what she's trying to do. She's a pioneer. She's literally like, and you're like, is this where she works? Is this her job? Is her job to entertain people at the petting zoo? We don't know. And if she's doing it, is she stepping way
it's
beyond
so
HR boundaries
confusing.
And stripping with the guests? You don't know.
Stripping with the guests.
Because I was like, maybe she's a petting zoo attendant.
Don't strip with the animals, please.
And it's just strange because, anyway. So you know that some time has passed and she's spending this money living her life. But this is where a key point happens.
Because in the group of guys, there's one special star named Goddard.
Katie calls him Goddard, but I think his name is Goddard. I think Andrew himself says Goddard, not Goddard.
I like it to be fancier, kind of French. Goddard.
So he's like, oh my God, what the fuck are you? You're an angel from heaven. You have such a star quality. I have to know who you are.
She goes, wait, I just want to show you one more thing. So she climbs up on a counter at the petting zoo where there's a food court again.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to pour hot sauce down her boobs.
Yeah, you guys, she literally picks up Tabasco, tries to show him how sexy she is, and does a sexy hot sauce boob dance.
And that's where he's like, no, up. Thanks.
Well, actually, this is one of my favorite lines from the whole thing comes. He's like,
I'm Goddard. Where are you from?
Outer space.
And he is really so intrigued. He's like, oh my God, I've never met a petting zoo stripper that pours hot sauce on her boobs when I tell her she's got it quality. So Goddard is just really infatuated.
Goddard
is just really infatuated with Benny. And it must have been that I was going to say hot sauce tit dance, but that came out really wrong. Must have been that hot tiss dance.
Are you trying to say tiss? Are we all circling back to tiss the whole time?
So Goddard is clearly one of the gayest actors there is in Hollywood.
But he's trying to play very butch manly.
I say Hollywood loosely. But he's trying to play butch manly. He's trying to kind of like...
region.
Yeah, exactly. So he's kind of trying to like woo her in this weird way, but he basically tells her like, you have talent, and guess what?
And knows talent. Why does he know talent?
Because he studied at Juilliard, you guys.
Right.
Everybody studied at Juilliard. And he's like, I'm going to make a cabaret and I want you to be my star dancer and I'll help you get there because, girl, you need it.
And he tells her,
women are like bananas. They're the sweetest when they're ripe. Right before they shrivel. But you are a banana split.
Yeah, you guys, because Penny's got to be pushing 48.
He's like, I can actually see you starting to shrivel
we probably should have prefaced with this. Like, Penny's she's past her prime in the nicest way possible.
But you know what?
You know what? She's good, and she just is a midlife dreamer, and I love that. And I love that she's doing it. So he basically gains her trust by taking her to. We'll post some of this in a separate kind of segment online, but the most bizarre date in the history of dates.
We kind of can't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's A, like a secret club and we don't want to break the secret. B, it's problematic and we could probably not talk about it in a way that's not offensive.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. But I think he's trying to woo her so much and Penny is like falling for him. She's like, this guy is so interesting. He just took me to the fucking weirdest date I've ever been on.
You know, I'm when guys him. Take you on fucking weird dates, that means they really like you, right?
Mm-hmm. So after this bond is done, he's like, Penny, I'm starting to like you.
Wait. You forget something really important.
What?
She changes her name to something really
sexy. Oh my
God,
you guys, you're right. I forgot a key point. She doesn't want to be known as Penny anymore because she thinks somehow people know that. So she changes it to what?
Helga.
She tells him, she tells Goddard that her name is Helga. Yeah. Cute name, Penny. Good thought process. You have an opportunity to make such a sexy name up, and you're
my
like,
"My name is Helga.
I'm Helga.
Star dancers,
and I strip at petting zoos." Like, I'm sorry. Also,
no, Helga is totally the name of someone who strips at petting zoos, so it's accurate.
I have a few questions though. Like, what is Goddard doing at a petting zoo himself too?
With
like,
his friends with a beer bong?
Is he scoping? It was just too many questions. We're asking too many questions.
Oh man, we really
whatever.
Are.
So he asked her to go on a date to this fabulous gala, and she is like, oh my God,
because
the richest of the rich and sexy are going
to
be there.
Yeah, I think that she is inferring that because he went to Juilliard, he's got like a bunch of connections and he's really like well off and well connected because he's like, I have these really powerful people that I want you to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, obviously, if you went to Juilliard, you must know everybody important.
But he also tells her that there's going to be a lot of aristocrats at the party.
This is where I have to say to you that I could not get a handle on neither the setting nor the plot, really.
Mm-hmm,
because
if
you're in Hollywood or the outskirts thereof, why are there lords and ladies with aristocratic parties happening?
I don't know. It makes they don't do that in
and
America.
And why would Goddard know them? Why would a Juilliard-trained violinist know the aristocrats?
Well, I think we need to tell the rest of the story.
It's just... Okay, so anyway.
So Penny needs to find a fabulous outfit for this beautiful gala that she has to go on. So she goes shopping at what literally is a closet thrift store.
You can see the handwritten prices on the tags.
Like all the...
That say 50 cents.
Yes. It's actually quite honestly
$2.
Filmed in a thrift store. And she pulls out this beautiful fur coat and she's like, how much is this?
It's $30,000. $1,000.
Yes. And you know what? Penny's got that wad of cash from that murdered prostitute. Doesn't bother counting. Just gets it up. She's like, you know, I'm going to look so good in this fur coat in Hollywood, in our, wherever they are. You're assuming somewhere near California in like summer weather. It's bizarre. Anyway,
doesn't count the money again. It's probably still another $100,000 wad.
Katie, duh. She counts it pre. She's so good with money. Remember when she was stripping at the petting zoo and bought the other round? It was pre-counted. She just threw that money on the table.
Yeah, you're right.
So she's found her perfect outfit for this gala that Godard's tucking her on. And he comes, you know, and he picks her up. And this is where we have to talk about Penny's living situation.
Yeah, it doesn't really get covered explicitly, but essentially she ends up in this giant mansion, which we can only assume she had it over a wad of cash for.
And it's like a mansion, but there's like old picnic tables in the front. It looks like maybe part of a university that they used to film it. Mm-hmm. So you're just assuming that, yeah, after she accidentally killed that prostitute and got her wads of cash, she decided to rent this entire furnished mansion. But it, well, anyway, we're thinking too much into it. He picks her up. And as he takes her, who does she meet?
Well, he pulls up in the car and there is a beautiful blonde bombshell in the front seat.
She's gorgeous. She's really pretty.
Her name is Katya and she is a catty bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
And she's like...
You don't quite know who she's with and why she's there with Godard.
But she has this very vaguely Russian accent that you're only going to hear that one time. Mm-hmm. The one time you meet her when she says she's Katya. And Godard's like, meet Helga, and she's just such a bitch to her. Like, no, I will not. I don't talk to trash.
Right.
But then proceeds to, like, not get out of the passenger seat, so they fold the chair over. So
that she can climb
Helga can get in the back, and poor Katya's trying to remain bitchy, but she's, like, bending over and, like, contorted into the glove compartment to let Helga go in the back. I'm like, bitch, get out of the car. Let her get in the back. This whole setup's really weird. This is where Penny needs to be, like, you're taking me on a date with another woman named Katya who you're not telling
me
who she is.
The alarm bells should be going off at this moment.
The bell shaped like Penny's freaking haircut. She should know a thing or two about
bells. But you know what? She can't hear the bells because her hair is just a helmet around her ears and you never see them.
Penny, and she doesn't ask a fucking question to Godard. She's not like, hey, who is Katya? No, nothing. She's just like,
hey,
cool.
Remember how we were going to go on this date and you showed up with this Russian blonde in the front seat?
Who won't get out of the passenger seat to let me in the back and you're pushing me in the back seat with my fur coat at $30,000?
So, no, none of those things happen. And then she asks less questions when he brings her into the foyer of a very fancy aristocratic house where there is an armoire and a chandelier at face level.
The chandelier is at face level against the wall in front of a mirror. That's how, I don't know if you guys know anything about decadence, but that's how aristocrats decorate their home.
I mean, they walk in almost into making contact with it, and then they'd step to the side to avoid making contact with it.
And I don't know if you guys have ever been to a really nice house, but that's how they're decorated. Chandeliers face level right next to a side wall in front of a mirror.
That's how you know it's really classy. Mm-hmm. There also needs to be, it also has to be like one stark white wall with a giant armoire on one side. Then a mirror, then a face level chandelier, then candles.
Okay.
That's how you really know.
You're going to make a movie. You can tell me that you can't find some house with, this is like a closet. They are in a closet and it's supposed to be
You know what? It's
foyer.
A close up shot. It's a tight shot. No one's ever going to realize that it's a
foyer.
They
love tight shots. All huddled together. Everyone's always huddled together in some weird room.
So she walks in with Godard. He's introducing Katya, and then he makes Helga spin around in circles, and she's still no alarm bells are going off. Okay, she spins a good probably three full spins. Then he says, Helga, I'd like to introduce you to Lord Hortberg. And at that point she's like, bye Godard. Lord Hortberg wants my junk.
Oh, and Lord Hortberg's just laying it on thick. They go to another, I don't know, lit room with just the two of them with the bright light. And
yeah, I couldn't. At first, I thought it was like the back of a car.
I did too. I thought it was the back of a limo,
but they're also at this giant aristocratic mansion, so who knows where they are?
No one knows where they are, but all we do know is that he lays it on thick, this lord, and he has sex with Helga/Bell Penny.
He Bell Penny, like Bell Pepper.
Bellhead Penny.
So, yeah, so it's really hopeful for Helga. She thinks that she's found love and that she's going to be, all of her dreams are going to come true because she's going to have access to money because she's, you know, like spending her wads of cash willy-nilly.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's going to have an influx of money. She's also going to have a handsome man mm-hmm. to a have
lord,
on her arm.
An aristocrat, a Lord that somehow
Hortberg.
Lives
she's going to be Helga Hortberg.
Helga Hortberg. Oh, no.
She's very excited.
And she gets really excited. Like, she thinks that she has found true love with this man after literally sexting him in the back of a freaking limo, maybe, we don't know, potential limo, I don't mm-hmm. know.
Yep.
And she's just like, he's the one. And he doesn't really speak solid English because he's supposed to be European. They don't really even talk.
Yeah. So the next morning, Penny is just basking in post-sexual gratification mm-hmm. delight.
Mm-hmm.
And how I know she's doing that is she's lying on a couch filled with blankets and sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she's wearing a sheer top and panties and high-heeled stripper shoes.
Oh, yeah. Gold. You don't sleep like that.
And so that's how she's sleeping.
You don't tell me you sleep like that.
I mean, I wear silver stripper shoes. Oh, yeah. But not gold.
Gold.
That's
Everyone
gross.
Knows. That's obnoxious. And right. as she's sitting there sleeping, she wakes up and does this classic yawn and, for no explained reason, we'll just plop it in just how you see it in the movie. A beautiful, like, French maid dressed woman comes, and I guess it's her maid, and she's not so much cleaning as she is just moving little items around.
Because she has the teensiest, tiniest French maid's costume mm-hmm. on.
Tits out, the hyena out,
you
legs, the whole thing.
You think that maybe it's a fellow dancer, but no, she's been hired as a part-time maid.
Oh, and her and Helga are, you know, Penny. We should, what do we, should, let's just call her Helga for the sake of
continuity.
Let's just call her Helga. So Helga has also been friends with this maid. We learn her name is Maria for a long time because they are just shooting the shit.
And we also learn that this is, the only reason I'm bringing it up now is because it comes into play later. Marie is also only doing house cleaning services to pay for her way through detective school.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that yep. in mind, you guys.
But Penny hasn't paid her in a while. And Maria's kind of like, Penny, yo, bitch, you haven't paid me in a long time. I come here every morning. I slowly sift through the things in your...
Fuck.
I dress like a stripper and I sift through your random belongings. And you haven't paid me. Like, what's the deal? And then Penny's like, shit, where's my diamond? And this is where we learn that Penny wears this giant diamond around her neck all
Giant's
the time.
Giant's a relative term.
It doesn't at all look like you got it at the 25-cent machine at the entrance to Walmart, but she wears it around her neck and she's like, look, where is it? So Helga, or sorry, Maria definitely finds it because she's a fucking awesome maid.
It's her nest. It's her. This diamond's her nest egg and she can't find it.
Yeah, she's like, where's this diamond that means so much to me? And Helga's like, you mean right here, bitch, in this purse?
In a crevice and on the couch?
And Helga holds it up and she's like, this, if things get real bad, I'm going to take this diamond to a pawn shop and it'll pay for, this is how I'll pay you back,
but
Maria.
Also, Marie
this
needs
is how
to
I'll
be
pay
like,
you back, Maria.
Well, if things aren't real bad yet and you haven't taken that to a pawn shop, then you should have enough money to pay me.
I know. And also, like, if your employer has to tell you that, that's a red flag, guys.
But instead,
that's a red flag.
But instead, they have a pillow fight. Marie's totally cool with it. Makes total mm-hmm. sense to her. Mm-hmm. Even though she's a detective, she hasn't put two and two together. And they decide to hash it out with just a sexy pillow fight.
Yeah, that's pretty much how that scene ends. So after this crazy, silly pillow fight she has with Maria, Goddard knocks at the door. So she's like, Maria, answer that door. I'm not going to answer it myself.
What am I
not paying for you for, dumb bitch? Like, what are you doing? So she opens the door and it's Goddard. And Goddard comes in and Helga's like, mad at him
she thought they were going on a date and he freaking picked up with someone else in the car.
But she slept with the Lord on that same date
Only
in the back of
revenge.
A weird limo. Like, Penny, she's so mad at Goddard for leaving her, but like, she did like completely go off and have sex with another man. So,
but she's coming at this with righteous indignation.
Yes.
Because she's like, it doesn't even matter because I fucked a lord, Lord Hubert, and he's going to take me to his yacht and we're going to be happily ever after. So you know what? It doesn't even matter that you showed up with Katya. And that's where things get a little dicey.
Goddard throws a wad of money at her and
there
goes...
There's so many wads of money being thrown around.
So many wads of money. And he's like, this is your share.
Dun, dun, dun.
He tricked Helga into being a prostitute, you guys.
An escort, I think you mean.
Escort, sorry.
A sex worker, you mean.
Either way, he tricked her into having sex with somebody for money.
Yeah, she was not consenting. That's the main point.
And gotta give it to Penny. I mean, she is furious because she's like, I have my limits. And having sex with someone for money is the breaking point? Is that the breaking the limit? No.
That's crossing the line.
Crossing the line. I have my lines and it is crossed.
Actually, her lines were only with of cocaine and that stranger in the car.
She doesn't know what cocaine does.
And so he tells her my favorite thing.
I'm like a burger drive-thru, and instead of a burger, it's a whore with fries and a soda that they order.
I've managed to make an honest living in a G-string. How could you do this to me?
Here's $2,000. You have a talent for this. Don't throw it away, Helga.
So after Penny is thinking about Gunnar's proposal, she's like, should I do this? I mean, I do have a really good talent. I do have really good skills.
I'm a really sexy lovemaker.
Give me a bottle of hot sauce and a feather boa. So she's thinking
Did
about
she
this.
Did she become like a 30s reporter? Give me a bottle of hot sauce and a feather boa, you see?
And she's watching TV thinking about should she be a prosti or not. And guess what? On her favorite freaking show, Star Dancers, she sees Katya, the bitch she met last night with Goddard.
And she's not just on Star Dancers, she's the Star Dancer. Center, I was going to say front and center.
Front and center.
Forgot the phrase.
And when we say Star Dancers, we mentioned it before. Again, it's just a dark room.
Keep
with
in mind, black box theater.
Black box theater, like you think you're watching a high school production, but it's supposed to be this like mind-blowing dance show. And she's like, dude, I watch this show all the time. Katya was not the star dancer last time I watched it. What the hell? I have to figure out what's going on.
So she calls Goddard because she's like, well, now I know there's a connection because Goddard showed up with Katya and Katya's now the freaking star dancer. So I guess I'm going to need his help more than I thought I would.
She is kind of realizing that she doesn't have any more money. Katya took her spot on Star Dancer, which
she
Penny has wanted for the last 3 days.
Lord Hubert was going to save her and whisk her away. So yes. She thought her money troubles were coming to
and
an
also,
end.
It's kind of like, Penny, you won't be a prostitute, but you're like going to sell yourself to what you think is a rich lord because he had sex with you in the back of a limo kind of closet
it
car.
It was love
one
at
night.
First sight.
That is true, you guys. Helga's thinking it really was like she really all throughout the whole movie believes that they had this deep spiritual connection.
Right.
So she's like, well, maybe it's time to go find out how much this large human, this large diamond is. I was going to say huge diamond, this large human diamond.
She's going to sell Marie.
It's just so sad.
Now and, she becomes the pimp.
Yeah. And then why can't she get a job like Maria and just like earn money that way?
That
I don't
actually
know.
Makes so
why?
Much sense. Also, you could just literally get a part-time job at In-N-Out.
Right? And like, Penny, I'm sorry. You live in a giant mansion. Like, maybe just downsize to a studio apartment.
Right?
Like, you've got to be paying $30,000. I mean, she bought a coat for $30,000.
She spent an entire bag of cash on a house, on a coat, on a round of drinks at a petting zoo.
That she could have gotten for free because she was stripping for these men.
And a prom dress to wear to the gala. That's it.
And you know, at this moment, she is dumping out her purse to try to see if there's any more money. And diamonds and jewels are falling out. And she's like, how did I spend all this money? So she goes to the pawn shop to see, like, what could she get for this diamond?
Guys, keep in mind, this was her backup plan to settle all of her debts.
Penny's entire financial future was put on this diamond.
It's riding
and she
on
goes
this diamond.
On, and the pawn shop owner's like, I'll give you $50 or $100. You see little sweet Helga's eyes are just welling up. She's like, no way. This
I
is
was expecting
50.
At least $125,000.
I know. She.
At least. You I have debts to settle.
You don't understand. I have an entire life to settle. And I thought this huge diamond would fix that. And he's like, girl, no. Get out.
No, he doesn't. He says, he squeezes her boobs. And he says, I'd be willing to give you a little more if you give me something a little more. And she realizes in that moment,
everyone wants her to be a prostitute.
Her body is in such high demand. In such high demand. She's like, I guess this... How am I going to... I just, there's literally no other choice for me.
How does she get around? But you know what? I'm not trying to, you dress however you want. I mean, don't. You
and
just,
also
you
engage
act, dress
in sex
how,
work if you want.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
But those aren't your only two options. So what we're saying though is she's, for wanting to be as classy as she sees herself, she's not doing a great
yes,
job projecting
it,
the job
yes,
she wants, not the
it.
Job she has.
That's exactly what I meant. She's just thinking of herself as this classy, like the wife to a lord, but she's like the least classy person. So after that really fucking nasty pawn shop guy, she goes to a payphone, which is what you do in 2013.
Cash.
Because it's hard. And also, it's hard to think that this movie was made in 2013. Like, they bring up Lady Gaga. Like, before Katya, Lady Gaga was the first choice to be the Star Dancer replacement. Like,
I'm so sure Gaga was even open to the idea.
She probably was. She was sort of get beyond that Star Dancer. So it's just, anyway, it's kind of weird because it looks like it was made in the 80s. It's bizarre. So she calls Goddard and she's like, Goddard, I saw that Katya woman with you the other night. She's the Star Dancer, the show that I've always wanted to freaking be on. And I told you from day one. What in the fuck is going on?
Do you want to tell me something? Are you hiding something?
Is there
from
something
me?
You want to tell me?
He's like, oh, like
you.
I was hiding that I was a pimp. Yeah, there's plenty of stuff I'm hiding from you, Penny. You're just not catching on.
Well, guess what? He was hiding from her this entire time. And why Katya's on Star Dancer? It's Goddard's effing wife. Katya is married to Goddard.
He brought his wife on a date.
And you almost want to be like, yeah, part of this is on Katya, too, because she could have been like, Penny, what's going on? Who's this Helga girl? Yada, yada. But that's neither here nor there. Neither of them
They
asked,
must
but...
have some sort of, like, co-presidents of pimping situation.
I mean, I think about it like...
VP of
if pimps? If I was to go... If Alex was to pick me up for a date and bring a really handsome... really handsome, well-dressed guy and not tell me. And then I would be like, who is this person? Who are you taking? I don't care. They can come with me. Us. Just who is it? Like, what is going on? At least fill
me
in.
They can come with us.
And then, oh, God. One every episode. So she's like, there's got to be something you can do to get me on Star Dancer. And he's like, well, what you can do is you can be my prostitute and I want to pimp you out to a politician. And she's like, no, I will never be a prostitute. And he's like, I can get you backstage to Star Dancer if you do it. And she goes, okay.
done.
Okay, hangs up the phone. So you have that. She's gonna get backstage if she sleeps with this politician.
And you know what, guys, she gets better than backstage, because the next day she's lounging in her sheer robe in her house, and someone shows up, a special visitor. The Star Dancer herself, Katya, has come to pay a visit to Helga.
Yes. You heard it right.
And guess what? She's bringing tidings of no joy, because she's like, girl, Goddard is in love with you. He can't stop talking about you. He says you're a sexual beast. He says you have all of this intense energy. Mm-hmm. He's looking at me like I'm an old crinkly banana and you're a nice ripe sweet banana. And I hate you so much. And then she immediately backtracks and goes, actually, no, I don't hate you. Actually, I'm obsessed with you. You're a great dancer. Mm-hmm. You're beautiful. You have the it factor. Can you please spend some time with me?
Yeah, it's like the most bizarre interaction literally in any cinema, any kind of movie I've ever seen.
You might think that I'm over exaggerating that interaction, but I'm not. That's how it goes.
Yeah, she literally says all of that. And she's like, I have to watch my husband like have this sexual desire for you. And just to paint a little picture, Katya, beautiful woman. She is slightly older than Penny, so it is kind of this, like, young replacement. But, you know, just to have that, like, I think that's the dynamic that they were going for.
Right.
Like, Katya's kind of washing up. And I don't know, it kind of is reminiscent of Showgirls, the exact plot.
I don't know, sounds like another movie. Showgirls.
So, yeah, like Kaden said, she's like, girl, let's hang out, you know? I hate you, but I also want to teach you to dance.
And Penny/Helga is... could not be happier. And so these women proceed to have a dance class in the hallway of the mansion. Not a room. No. In the hallway.
Literally the hall. You guys, it's bizarre. It's the hall. Then they wear she puts on a tutu. Like, where did Katya bring that tutu from?
She had it in the car. When you're star dancer, you don't go anywhere without a tutu.
It is amazing. Oh, wait. Is this where they do the pussy? This is Laitler, right? The pussy dance?
No, that's what happens. Yes, when she goes, don't be afraid of your pussy. Dance from your pussy.
So that just happened?
Use it. Yes, that was the hallway.
Okay. Because So after this hallway dance lesson, this impromptu hallway dance lesson, as Katya came out of nowhere to hate this woman, but then love her, they decide to have this, like, they have this bonding experience. And I think it's supposed to be...
I mean, I think what they're really trying to do is wind down with a little champ and hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. That's right. What is the sexiest thing you can eat when someone, an unexpected house guest that you think is a celebrity, shows up?
Obviously, hot dogs.
Cucumbers and hot dogs. You guys, they go in the kitchen and Penny's going to make a meal, Penny/Helga, and she's literally cutting raw cucumber and they're boiling like three hot dogs.
And there is a close-up of the hot dogs boiling.
Yes.
For an excessive amount of time.
Yes. Yes. And then one of the best scenes in cinematic history happens.
They each grab a hot dog with a tong, a set of tongs.
A set of metal tongs that you get at IKEA. They are holding it in front and they're having this kind of like sexual innuendo talk, obviously, where she's like talking about, you know, being a powerful woman and...
Hey, do you want to have children?
Honestly, no. I'm the worst mother in the world.
I want to have children. Lots of them. So does Goddard.
Well, I have a daughter.
Really? Was he rich?
No, I picked a poor one. My mother has custody of her because she gave up her dreams of being a star to be a mother. The state took her away from me. But it's okay because I can't take care of a kid. I can't even take care of myself.
Well, I'm sorry that you lost custody of your daughter. What about the father?
My ex-boyfriend or ex-fiance, whatever he's called. He's a small-time drug dealer and he makes these t-shirts with these dumb sayings on them. But he got his formal technique training at Alvin Ailey, but he just couldn't make things happen in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
That's Penny, by the way, you guys. Penny has a daughter she's lost custody of. This is all taking place while they are actively holding tongs with a hot dog in them.
Yes.
And they keep rubbing the tips of the hot dogs together.
Yes. They're cheersing with the hot dogs they've just boiled. And they're talking about how they're sexually powerful women. Then total childhood trauma, which we did learn that Penny has a daughter from Jimmy, who was at the beginning, the skateboarder at the very beginning from Showgirls. And then they have a little cheers, hot dog cheers, and then they sexually eat the hot dogs.
Even though they each have their own hot dog, they decide to put one hot dog between them and Lady and the Tramp that bitch.
Oh my God. And the funny thing is they're doing it really bad because it's like maybe they don't, I don't know, maybe they didn't want to eat the hot dog like in real life.
Maybe.
So they're doing like
this.
It's probably
really cold at that point.
Yeah, it's like they're kind of doing this weird like weird face.
I guess I'll put it in my mouth.
And then they have cheers.
That's what she said.
God. Well, the scene's playing right now in the background and Katie, she's getting riled up.
I think I'm going to need some time alone.
We're going to need some time alone. Do you want to go? We should dance it off. Let's go dance it off in the hallway. So yeah, then the night again devolves and they start dancing again in the kitchen and then they have a sexual encounter.
So I don't want to, this movie's so long. I mean, remember how we talked, it's 2.5 hours long. And so you might be getting like, we're skipping stuff even.
Oh, you guys, we've skipped like half the movie.
So much. But this is so important to share because it starts out with hot dog foreplay. It ends with them in the pool outside of Penny Helga's mansion. And you can tell that the director, which is the woman who plays Penny, she hasn't quite choreographed the love scene. And so you can tell they're sort of like trying to wing it as they go.
It's so embarrassing slash amazing.
We'll definitely play some clips that you have to have the visual for this. But just imagine two grown ass women in a pool. Then one is pouring champagne.
No, I do want to say one thing. It's not champagne, you guys.
It's definitely Surge.
It's a Surge.
Or Mountain
Dew. Yes, Surge or Mountain Dew replacement. But then they're supposed, and it's barefoot wine, you guys. It's barefoot Chardonnay. You get it at like a corner store, like a gas station. But they're pretending like it's so elegance.
It's the fanciest brand.
And I had to throw it in there because the whole time they're just like making it sound like it's the best. Anyway, continue.
There's ants all over the floor. Sorry, I got distracted. Look.
Oh my God.
There's ants everywhere.
Oh, that is sick. There are. They didn't even try to get them out.
Wine they spilled.
They spilled so much wine. There's little ants. And she, why is she wearing ankle warmers? You just keep hitting that mic.
I'm sorry.
Why is she wearing ankle warmers to freaking go dance like in a pool?
She has a shirt that says foreplay and it's spelled wrong. It's F-O-R-P-L-A-Y.
It's, no, it says it's fur play. F-U-R.
Oh, no, I didn't see the U. No. Okay, so, sorry, yeah, we got sidetracked. So they enter the pool, and because they haven't totally choreographed this, all they know is they want it to look magical. So somewhere, from some direction, which is not determinable, there are bubbles. So bubbles are floating through the air.
Penny slash Helga would have had to have gone on and set up a bubble machine. Bubbles don't just get made, so... Right. Lots and lots of bubbles.
So just imagine this happening, okay? And then they decide it would be very sexy if we poured this barefoot Mountain Dew on your chest, right?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
So they start just drizzling her boobs in this gross soda water and then licking it off of each other. And then just when it might get sexy, just when you might think like, oh, maybe they are going to pull this off. No, they start ballerina dancing separately in the pool and doing ballerina spins as 40 something year old topless women in the pool.
It goes from like they tried to be sexy. The kisses weren't kisses. They were mashing their faces next to each other.
There was not sensuality involved.
And then
involved.
It's like, this is so awkward that we're going to start dancing. Like and the bubbles are going in the background. There's barefoot wine on the side and a bunch of ants, by the way, because it is actually Surge that they're probably using. And ants have just gone all around that pool. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot.
It's their birthday.
So after they start dancing, they finally, I guess, decide to have sex. I don't know.
This is something that has caused me so much emotional stress and damage. Number one, I had to watch it more than once.
Oh yeah, you had to. I'm sure it was
number one, research. I had to watch it like four times alone in my room with a vibrator, and I had to do it.
You're supposed to allude to the fact that you had a vibrator. You don't have to say it.
I borrowed Mandy's Melissa Joan Hart.
Oh no, her little curly hair.
Remember how we named her vibrator Melissa Joan Hart or the musket?
MJH and the musket.
So, point being, what's caused me emotional damage is not only viewing it, but also trying really hard to understand who receives sexual pleasure in this thing. So if I could set the scene for you, they're in the pool. They've done their ballerina spins, right? There's tiki torches burning. There's bubbles of flying. There's Mountain Dew pouring. One of them... So Helga comes to Katya, right? She wraps her legs around Katya's torso. So their crotches, vaginas, clitorises, nobody's making any physical contact with the other body.
It's okay? It's like vagina to like upper belly button at this
point. And they also have bottoms on, okay?
Like swim trunks. You can see, it's like they made a note that you could see them.
They're covered. They're topless. And then all of a sudden, Katya starts lifting Helga / Penny out of the water repeatedly and then splashing her back down. So just imagine her like up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. But no one's making contact. There's no stimulation
There's no
happening.
There's no kissing, nothing.
There's no body parts that are touching in a way that would feel good. And this goes on for about four full minutes.
Which reminds me kind of the sex scene in Showgirls. Sex scene in Showgirls.
Mm-hmm. The floppy fish.
The floppy fish. Maybe they were doing like an ode to that, like a, what do you call it, an homage or something?
Yes, for sure.
But they did it the wrong way. I don't know. But like Cadence says, that you're not even remotely, like, obviously I'm not straight. Maybe I am. I don't know. But you would just, that just is the least sexy thing to see another woman lift up a woman and just splash her in the water. Just keep throwing her in the water over and over. It's just.
There's absolutely nothing arousing about it. And I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they were like, yeah, this is totally what lesbians
do. Oh, yeah. They were like, everyone will be so turned on.
They just mimic heterosexual sex. And that's it. Oh, nothing has to happen. They just have to mimic it.
No, that's not even heterosexual sex. The penis, there are no genitals lined up.
True.
In any
I guess
of this
I was
encounter.
Thinking like physically it sort of looks like it.
I guess, yeah. But, I guess, yeah, because Helga's, like, her vagina literally is in her clavicle.
Probably.
Yeah, we don't know. We digress. Anyway, they have sex. It's a weird night, I'm sure, for both of them. And you're kind of like, what the fuck is going on? She hated her. Now she likes her. Now she found out it's Goddard's wife. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know, think about it. She just found out that's Goddard's wife.
She doesn't even skip a beat, dude.
But she has all these, like, moral dilemmas about, whatever. We're okay. Thinking too much.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving this, I mean, to even have a thought beyond what we're faced with is doing a disservice to our own selves and the movie.
So after that super, super sexy little thing we just...
What did we see?
That
too sexy to think with words for it.
I know. I'm like flabbergasted from that. All
we
that
had to
bubble
take showers.
Sex.
We really did. We had to like stop recording, go just take cold
it's
showers,
just too much.
Pour ice all over our bodies.
The things we do for this podcast.
Calm down.
So literally it says the next day, Helga goes to see Katya on Stardancer.
Because
they're a couple now. Helga loves Katya. Helga and Katya for life. And basically, let's just to summarize it. Katya has a mental breakdown. She's getting older. Her husband Goddard only talks about Helga, and so she's lashing out at Helga very much in the most bizarre way possible.
She knows her career is not going to last too much longer. She's reached her prime banana phase.
Star Dancer, because, yeah, she's not going to be on Star Dance.
What now?
Well, I'm just thinking about the visual of, I was thinking, like, you might be thinking these people are actually dancing in the movie or, like, actually showing some kind of choreographed routines.
No.
Katya didn't dance at all. The other star dancers actually just pick her up and bring her to the front of the stage and dance around her.
Yeah.
So in that moment, I was thinking she is the least from a star dancer, but neither here nor there.
She must have Goddard must be a powerful man. If he can make the lead star dancer a star dancer who does not dance, imagine his connections. Imagine how powerful he truly must be.
So Katya just... She's done. She's out of the scene. Like, she's out of the movie for now. We're just going to let her calm down somewhere else. And we're just going to focus on Helga and Goddard, right? So we come to assume that Goddard has now got Helga as pretty much a prostitute. She's doing the things that he wants. She has to have sex with the politician because that was part of the deal.
This is a 7-act movie. San Francisco's like act 5. But how we get to San Francisco, you might be asking or wondering, is because Goddard has a really cool plan for his two favorite ladies, Helga and Katya. He's getting into films, and they're snuff films. And I don't know if you know what a snuff film is, but it's an actual film of someone being killed, and people pay a lot of money.
No, I didn't think a snuff film was that.
It is.
I thought a snuff film was just... Oh, well, in the movie, but not in real life.
No, there is. It's a real thing.
Well, no, I'm sure there's categories, but I've definitely heard of snuff films being other. Like, you don't always get killed or die.
Okay, well, I'm not going to get graphic, but there are certain bullet points that are met in a snuff film. So anyway, Goddard is trying to play this off like he's come up with a way to cheat the system. That he's just going to get some special effects guys in. He's going to have Penny and Katya be in these films. And they're going to be pretending to die.
Stop. You're right. It says a snuff film, a pornographic movie of an actual murder. A pornographic film that shows an actual murder. What am I thinking? Scat film? Maybe I was thinking, no.
That scat is animal waste.
Oh, I thought, it's animal waste?
Yes.
I thought it was just any kind of waste.
Oh, geez.
I need to brush up on my pornographic films, especially if I'm going to be a high-end escort.
I know. No wonder you didn't start that job. You didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
I learned something. I literally thought a snuff film meant like that it was kind of like voyeurism of like weird shit happening. Like that's what I thought it always was. I didn't think it was murder, but I knew it was like weird shit. Like, you're like stuff that you shouldn't see on camera, like eating, I don't know.
Like murder?
Or like, you know, I don't want to even say stuff. Like putting
that's why I said.
Putting a dead fish on your tits. That's like a snuff film.
Oh my God. I was ready to move on, and I was gonna get us out of this fairly.
No, I literally just think like that weird stuff that no one wants to see, like bouncing a dead fish on your titties. Like, that's what I had.
Oh, I just dropped my microphone because I was just trying to just ease us out of this conversation.
Sorry, I did not know, but you...
Like flopping a dead fish on your tits.
Now
obviously.
You know. Now you know snuff film, so apologize for that.
Now we know Candace what Colin's right. into.
Mm-hmm.
All I gotta see is that dead fish a flopping.
And I come a knocking. So gross.
Gross. Ugh. Okay.
So Godard, he's just really trying to get Helga to be in a snuff film. That's all he wants.
Because he's telling them that. It's all special effects. Don't worry. No one has to die. It's all just trust me on this. Well, as soon as he leaves the room, Marie, the tried and trusty servant
I'm
who's
like
not being
99% her name is Maria, but.
Okay. Well, I thought it was Marie. So she, it doesn't matter really. She's the detective, right? So she's like, I learned this in my detective class, but a lot of people make snuff films by finding people that are easily disposable, which sounds gross to even say it out loud, and then they actually kill them. It's not special effects. And all of a sudden it clicks for Penny. Like, if he gets rid of me and Katya, the two craziest bitches in his life will be gone and his problems will be solved.
Which is really, really good for Penny. Sweet Penny, I'm so happy, girl.
I mean,
I'm so happy.
Marie had to
finally
hold her hand down that whole path to get her there.
I know. You wouldn't even been there if it wasn't for your damn maid dressed as an actual...
Who's working for free.
French maid who's working for free. But, like, girl, good thing you made that together. Because, like, come on. You know Penny or Helga would have just gone for it.
Yeah, like, she would have been like, you know
okay.
what? I do need the money.
Actually, she'd have been like, no, I will never, never do a snuff film. And he's like, I can get backstage. Yes. Okay.
So... She finds Katya, who is celebrating her birthday while wearing the $30,000 fur coat she stole from Penny and a fur hat.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention that Katya stole Penny Helga's fur coat.
I guess it was like a sex gift. And she's celebrating her birthday. She's so sad. She's like, I'm so old.
You guys, she's eating one piece of cake that is on a paper plate with three lit candles.
It's
at
the saddest.
A bar. Like at a restaurant.
Thing you know that the restaurant owner was like, can someone just run to Safeway and get her a piece of cake? Like,
it's not even on a real freaking plate.
Yeah.
Because anyway,
they're at a bar.
Keep going.
So, essentially, Helga is like, Katya, we got to get out of here. Godard wants us both gone. He's trying to get rid of us. And she's like, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that. I was already on my way to San Francisco. I'm going to get out of this joint. You got to come with me. So, how do you think Katya and Helga decide to get around?
I'm going to shoot out a wild guess, and I'm going to say that they rent a car and just drive somewhere else, or maybe fly.
You know, those both seem like really good suggestions, but no, two grown-ass women
hitchhike. Not only are they hitchhiking, they're still in their bedazzled bikini tops and fur coats.
All right, so... This is just a quick side note because as they're standing, this conversation, just like the other conversation about losing custody of their kids and growing up in a Russian hospital happened while they were holding hot dogs in tongs.
Mm-hmm. Sexy.
This conversation happens while they're standing on the side of the road waiting to be picked up as hitchhikers. And Katya's stroking Helga's diamond necklace. And she's like, oh, this is so beautiful. And she's like, it's my twin sister.
Oh, my God, you guys.
And Katya's
Helga?
Like, I'm sorry.
Helga? We should just call her Pelga.
Helga, even prettier.
Penny / Helga, her diamond necklace that we've talked about this whole damn movie is her twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
Died, was made into a diamond.
But let's talk about how she died.
Oh, no.
She was...
I don't want to talk about how she died.
She was taking a bubble bath.
Mm-hmm.
And she was listening to the radio.
As one does.
And the radio fell in the water. And electrocuted her to death. Penny ran into the bathroom, tried to revive her with her CPR skills.
As I'm sure Penny absolutely has, for
She's
sure.
She's very capable. So doesn't work. Unfortunately, her sister passes, and she has her made into a diamond necklace. which, by the way, was a necklace that was going to settle all of her debts, and she was going to get $50 to $100 for from the pawn shop.
Now we learn why she was holding on till the very end. I mean, it's her sister. It's like, you know, if times
get... she was being very cavalier about that neck. She lost it in the couch cushions.
Oh, she did.
It's her sister.
It's that damn lord. He sexed her so good, and she was so convinced that she lost her sister diamond inside of the couch.
That she didn't even care.
Ugh.
Okay. That's just the weirdest subplot that they're sharing at this moment.
I know. Out of all, like, you guys, there's so much we have left out. We've told you that. But this is just the tip of the iceberg on the bizarreness of this
movie.
We
are going to try to fly through the end because there's lots of stuff that's unnecessary. Well, this whole movie is unnecessary. What are we,
the whole
who
thing,
are we
this
kidding?
Whole pod, this whole episode on this podcast is it's just not even, they both make it to San Francisco.
And so she's getting whored out, right? And then she's like, I can't do this anymore. It's too stressful. I think we're going to need to find another job. And so Katya and Helga start dancing at a restaurant similar to the restaurant that Penny started in. There are mounted,
you guys,
stuffed fish all over the walls.
I just have to paint the picture.
It is in front of a fireplace in the dining room.
They literally rented out a Motel 6 lobby with the fireplace. There is a 6-foot marlin mounted to the wall behind the stage. So at this place, which we think, again, is a lobby or maybe a living room, there's also a host who's really racist and kind of does stand-up. So we don't really know what kind of facility this place is. There's
Who knows what they're doing?
There's obviously no audience there. So whatever. Katya's really wooed everybody. And now she's kind of center stage. Like, she is the it girl of this Motel 6 living room.
She's a goddess.
She's such a goddess from heart.
Yeah.
And this is where we see a little shift in Penny's behavior and her thought patterns and
all of
her
like naivete and hope for the best
kind of goes out the window,
takes a back seat,
because she's like, I'm gonna use my body, I'm gonna use my twin sisters, and I'm gonna go seduce this really awful manager. And she does. She takes him in the back during work hours during a show,
right? Very unprofessional,
very unprofessional, and has sex with him. And then he's like, you know what, I think I really like you. But that doesn't mean he's gonna make her center stage.
So after she does that, she has to come up with plan B, because it didn't even work. She had to have sex with this disgusting guy for nothing.
I was thinking that maybe she just like stoked the fire. But yeah, you're right. It didn't even work. He still was like, cool. Katya's still the center stage right now.
I actually don't feel that way about you, but thanks.
Thanks. I liked it.
So she's like, okay, well, now plan B, I'm going to have to take this into my own hands. So she Vaselines up the bottom of Katya's dance shoes and sends her out to a tile floor and says, good luck.
Dance shoes / actual ballerina shoes.
Okay, they're not ballerina shoes. They're like the dance shoes that children wear in dance recitals. They're those very specific, like Mary Jane buckled.
Oh, okay. I was thinking it was, when I saw it, I was like, why is she wearing a ballerina shoe?
Because they have like that little
shoe?
Like baby, like half inch heel.
And again, we want to assume that these women are working at a strip club or something. We want to assume that. Or I don't know. That's
They're
what you
not,
assume.
That's the thing.
No one's taking off
their
clothes. It's like a really bad drag show, you guys. It's not even a cabaret. Everyone's wearing feather boas, sheer robes, and they're not doing anything.
It's so complex. No, not complex. It's so perplexing is what I meant to say.
The most perplexing.
Absolutely perplexing.
Because you're sitting like, what are they doing? Where have I
and
ever...
And who's paying money to watch it?
Are they even paying money? Are they hired by the restaurant? Do they get tips? Like, what is going on? I've been to a couple strip clubs in my day. Never have I seen this, anything even remotely close to this. And I've been to a lot of drag shows. Nothing close to this.
So her plan works. Katya falls slowly. She slowly approaches the floor. And when she gets to the floor, she's like, oh, my hip is broken. And this is Penny's plan come to fruition, because she slides her right off that floor, takes center stage.
She gets like a little broom and just kind of slowly brooms her off the thing. And now Penny / Helga is full center stage at this place. She did it, you guys.
She did it. And right at this moment, Jimmy comes back from her past and he's like, listen, just come back home. We'll make it work. And she's like, I'm all right on my own. So this is the irony. Just when she gets to the top, she's made it to center stage. She is the She's made it to center stage
at that TGI Fridays, and it is all and a local San Francisco TGI Fridays.
She's only being upstaged by a 6-foot Marlin mounted on the wall. Then all of a sudden, someone from the beginning of the movie shows up.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember that little guy at the very beginning who was like, hey, I remember you from 16 years ago when you gave me a lap dance at the Cheetah Lounge for my birthday? Yep. And then he put his little siren on the top of his car. He's a detective, guys. He's a detective. And you know what? Because time and space doesn't exist in this movie, he eventually decided to go back to where the murder scene actually happened. And he discovers that it is this woman that he knows, Penny. She has the one that committed murder. She left a little bit of stuff behind.
Well, he thinks. I mean, he pieces things together and assumes that she's the one who killed both of these men and the woman.
Yeah, because like a bunch of stuff fell out when she was being, I guess. And it was just like, I'm Penny. I'm going here. This is what I do. And I'm going to be on Star Dancer.
Right.
So we assume that he tracks her down. She
basically, she wrote a note and left it on her pee pile. It was like, hey, Penny was here.
Penny, I look like this. You might remember my Lord Farquaad hair. Blonde, shiny, my glittery top lid makeup. So needless to say, it doesn't really explain it, but she goes to jail. They figure out, they frame her for these murders.
I think also he's just a little bit bitter that she didn't want to ride with him in the beginning of the movie.
Well, he's
like,
so...
I feel like it's a revenge arrest.
Oh, it is totally. Cause he was so enraptured by her beauty and her essence and who she was that he had to like have that. And because he couldn't, he's like, well, fuck you then. I'll put you in jail.
Yeah. I'll arrest you for murder.
I'll arrest you for murder.
But so... here's the silver lining of this cloud. She eventually gets released, but why and how?
Because Maria, her fucking maid...
Who worked for free.
Who worked for free, wrote her thesis paper
on...
Her detective school thesis paper on the case of Penny and proved that she was innocent.
So are we... So is Maria still working for free?
Yeah, like, what
for
the
Penny?
Why did you...
As Maria?
Maria... You're my maid, eh? Appreciate it. But my favorite thing is Maria comes to meet Penny when she's leaving jail. There's no security. There's no one around. Penny literally walks out the back of a sliding door. And Maria comes and meets her, hands her a box, and she's like, oh, I got you out because I wrote a thesis paper. Bye, sweetie. And then I'm like, Maria, what is your motivation for this? What are you doing?
How is she making any money? Even the job that she worked part-time to get through detective school was not making her any money.
I'm like, at least take her sister diamond and be like, hey, can you pay me your dead sister diamond around your neck?
Debts?
Yeah, give me your dead sister diamond. Like, take it off of her neck. No, she hands her and she's like, cool, I did this for you, bye. And you're like, Maria, they didn't even claim that they were friends.
She's an angel, I guess.
Maybe she's just like a guardian angel of Penny.
Yeah, it's a wonderful lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So needless to say, Penny's out now and she's walking on the street. She passes a couple bums and she bends down.
Let's just really quick. They say, oh, you're the girl from the magazine, right? You're famous.
Oh, you're right. She finally got her fame.
And her eyes light up and she's like, I guess you're right. I guess I am famous. And then, continue.
She bends down, picks up a penny, and shows it to the camera. Dun, dun, dun. And that's it. That's it. It's the end. Well, yep. I'm glad. I mean, if anyone... in the fucking world is still listening to this at this point. You made it, you guys. You made it. And trust me,
good
like...
good for you.
That is the ending. And I kind of said at the beginning, like, I was watching this movie and it's so long and it's so crazy that you just start to believe, like, this is life. Like, you just enter this world and that's it. That's
the
life
other
forever.
Thing you think is, has someone spiked my food or drink with mushrooms or acid?
I know. I love us. Katie, I love us. We're funny and we're cute. But we literally skipped over so many more amazing parts. You guys have to see this movie to really believe it.
You don't even... there's not even anything you could imagine that we left out that would be close to what actually happened.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're kind of sugarcoating it a little bit and, like, condensing it and making it kind of vague. But if we could spend... I would love to do a complete unabridged An episodic. We would be here for 3 hours just explaining.
We have been here for three hours.
Oh my God.
What are you talking about?
I know. Now I know how Penny felt. I don't know how she felt. She had to get it all in that movie. She had so much to say.
So maybe what we could do is take it in 10-minute increments because so much shit happens that we could probably put together a good 10 episodes. No, it'd be longer than that. If we did 10-minute increments.
Oh, yeah, because there's so much bizarre detail. And it's more just like, you guys, the background. And we didn't do like the best job at explaining it, but this is all filmed with like a home video camera.
Right.
And it's all filmed at local free public places.
Right.
And so when you're looking at it, but not only is it filmed at local free places, you still have no context of what these places even are.
No.
So she's supposed to be buying a $30,000 coat from a very fancy store. It is clearly
a thrift store.
But I'll say this today. We went thrifting the other day, Katie. Even the thrift store we went to looked nicer.
Yeah.
And more like a store than whatever she was at.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
So many choices were made that maybe we can interview Rena Riffle.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would die.
She's got nothing else going on, I bet.
No, she's got a lot going on.
Actually, that's insulting. Rena, you made a movie, which is more than I've ever done. So I don't mean to imply that at all.
We've made some movies. Do you remember when we were young, when I was like 10? And you're going to say we didn't make any movies?
We've made some classics. You're right.
I will take that back.
Okay, one of these days I'm going to find these videos and I'm going to start posting them because they are phenomenal. We were obsessed with soap operas for a little while. And so we would make our version of soap operas and we truly thought we were pulling it off. And so I understand where she's coming from. We truly thought we were dazzling the viewer visually
but
and
even,
we were tricking them to think that they were watching grown-ass adults doing things.
Even then, if we were trying to show that we lived in a nice house, we just took footage of a really nice house in our neighborhood. Like, she didn't even do that. She just picks the most bizarre places. Like, her home that she's renting in this movie literally has, like, knocked over park benches and, like, a weird folding table in the front lawn. Like, maybe she took actual stock footage of, like, a frat house. Like, just pick a house that doesn't have lawn furniture folded over.
Oh, you're mad.
And it's like, come on. Or at least move it.
Just scooch it out of the way. At the very least. I mean, she could have... Also, the thing is, what we told is a more streamlined version. She could have edited out at least a solid hour. But she also felt so passionately...
No, she did not. You know she didn't edit. I don't think she got this movie edited.
She didn't edit even a scene of it. She filmed it in chronological order.
Yes.
And didn't cut one red cent.
The only part of this movie that I thought like kind of looked professional was when Goddard was showing her the snuff film. And the snuff film's playing. And I'm like, oh, that looks kind of professional.
The snuff film is the highest production value.
Because it was like the music and it's like close up, like very artistic, obviously, you know, in a different way. But like it was just, it looked like it was actually some effort was put into making that fake snuff film for a fake movie.
Mr. MILF murder case. I'm so sorry, but I just read the title of the thesis.
I know, stripper MILF murder case.
And did you notice that when she comes to give her that, she's now officially a detective, but she's in a stripper cop uniform. So she went from French maid uniform to stripper cop. And that's her official uniform.
And also the bum that says, I know you, you're famous. Guess who she's dressed as?
Elizabeth Taylor?
Marilyn Monroe. Because she was dressed as Marilyn Monroe, you dummy. Look at the big beauty mark.
And the blonde hair
and the white dress and the diamonds.
It's vague.
Oh, I forgot she signed her ass. Wow. Okay.
Anyway.
We digress. We love you guys. Thank you so much for like sticking in with this. This was a little bit crazy, but
so many things stuck in this movie.
If you guys have any suggestions on any kind of movie that you've seen that's like your favorite B movie that you think Cadence and I have to see, just let us know. Drop us a line. You can find us on TikTok, on Instagram. You can email us. We have a YouTube. We have email. I said email like 10 times.
Email.
Here's our private number. Okay.
So thank you for listening and just gear up because this is not the end of the road for these sweet, sweet movies. There's more to come.
Bye. Bye.
look at Katya's vag in that.
That's what I'm saying the whole time. Yes. I put this.
No, she like lifts it up and you can genuinely see she's not wearing any underwear.
No, really?
Yes.
I do not want to see Katya's vag. That's the last thing I don't want to see.
Oh, she got up just in
time. Wait, hold on. I'm going to rewind it.
That's the last thing I want to see. Hold on. I'm going to rewind it.
Do you remember when I got asked to be a prostitute?
Can you...
Story time, guys.